Hello and welcome to an Emergency Hoop Collective podcast. It's late at night, at least in New York City where I am. We've got Kevin Pelton joining us from Seattle, but from Staples Center. I've seen a lot of weird nights in the NBA. This is going way up there, especially since like 5 minutes ago, Dirk officially retired. Dwayne Wade retired. Steph Curry sprained his ankle. A lot of strange stuff is happening with seating, but my God, Magic Johnson called an impromptu press conference and resigned right in front of the cameras. Om, you were there. Please tell us what the experience was like.
Wendy, you know, you cover this. You cover.
Wait, did I introduce Om? Om Young Mister in Los Angeles. Om Young Mister in Los Angeles Staples Center. Go ahead.
Yeah. Wendy, you cover sports long enough, and there are moments in sports that you get to cover, and they catch you by surprise, and your adrenaline starts flowing. Like, my hands are still shaking, and it's been probably about 2 hours since Magic talked. And so there are just situations that happen that you just did not see coming. This was something, I mean, literally, moments before he walked in, I was talking to Magic with a couple other people, and I was asking Magic, where was he at the Final Four? Because I went to the Final Four, and I thought I would see Magic in Minneapolis. And he was telling me that he couldn't make it. There were things that came up. I had no idea that this is what came up. So he just went in and started really getting choked up.
How long before the actual press conference were you aware he was going to speak?
He walked in and I was waiting outside these two big doors that kind of shut off the tunnel from the Lakers locker room. I thought Magic was coming right back out. And then all of a sudden somebody said, Magic's talking. And then I went in and saw that there was this huge group around him and Magic started talking. And then that's when Magic announced his announcement, said that he was telling the media before he could tell Jeannie, because he could not face Jeannie face to face and tell her. And even just saying that started to make him cry. But I thought what the amazing thing was about this, and Wendy, you know that if you've covered this long enough, that usually these type of decisions, there's always a reason why behind the scenes. And Magic, you know, started intimating things of, you could read between the lines of maybe why this is happening. Like when he was asked, did this have anything to do with Luke Walton's future? He said no. But then he would say, you know, in this position, tomorrow I was going to have to make a decision that could impact someone's life. And I didn't want to do that. And I didn't want to disappoint Jeannie. And then he started talking about Jeannie's relationship with Luke and how he kind of didn't want to come between that and disappoint Jeannie, which if you read between the lines, that means that there seemed to be some sort of struggle about Luke Walton's future, certainly. And then there were other things that he talked about. He dropped this line in the middle of the press conference about backstabbing, but would not clarify backstabbing and whispering. And then said, this happens a lot in the NBA, but I'm not talking about strictly the Lakers organization. But he wouldn't clarify about that. And then he was very lukewarm about his relationship with Rob Pelinka.
Okay, first things first. So Jeannie just tweeted on the topic of Jeannie. The Lakers released a statement on Magic Johnson. She retweets that and says, Irvin, I loved working side by side with you. You've brought us a long way. We will continue the journey. We love you, Purple Heart, Gold Heart. And I believe Om, if I'm not mistaken, before when Magic went in, you were saying, oh, do I have to go in and follow Magic? And someone was saying, oh, no, he's not going to talk. Don't worry. He'll be out here shortly. And then moments later, it's like, Oh, my God, Magic is talking. You got to get in there.
And listen, I talked to Rob.
Om, I just want to be clear. They didn't say, hey, Magic will be holding a press conference in 6 minutes. He literally just walked up to where the microphones were and started to speak.
Should have known that something seemed a little different, because one of the Lakers PR women was basically waiting for Magic, and then all this, and I was wondering why she was waiting for Magic, and I just thought maybe she was trying to take Magic somewhere to go meet someone, and then Magic walked in, and then all of a sudden I was like, where is Magic? And then somebody said, you better get in there, and Magic was talking, and I walked in, and Magic was like just in the middle of talking about how he did not want to make a decision tomorrow that was going to affect someone's life, and that was he wasn't happy.
Let me say a few things here. First off, I think Jeannie was aware that Magic might resign. I don't think it came out of the clear blue sky. I don't know if she knew he was going to have a press conference before the game. But she, they definitely, from what I am told, after that meeting that they had a meeting, I think it was yesterday, I guess.
Yesterday. Magic said it was a 3-hour meeting.
She knew that Magic was, that this was an option, or this was something that could happen. I'm not saying Magic was lying. I'm not saying that, you know, I don't believe she maybe knew at that moment he was going to do it, but I don't think it came completely out of the clear blue sky. Secondly, Magic absolutely was intending to fire Luke Walton. Whether it was going to be tomorrow or not, I don't know. And while that was a factor, only Magic knows what the real final straw was. There was a lot of things at play here. So we'll know more about this in the coming days. The scene is wild. He kept giving interviews, right? Like, this kept going on for some period of time.
Yeah, he talked for over 30 minutes the first time. And Magic seemed relieved.
What about the second time?
The second time he walked and he was literally saying goodbye to everybody. I mean, everybody in the media that he knew, he was saying goodbye to. like he wasn't going to be back for a while. It was very, very bizarre. And then I guess he went into the ramp and waited for Jeannie Buss because he thought Jeannie was going to show up to the game, and then found out that Jeannie wasn't coming. And then that's when Magic finally left. But then Magic conducted more interviews from there. And so,
okay. Kevin Pelton is with us from Seattle. The other voice you heard earlier was Andrew Hahn, the producer extraordinaire. We're stitching this together late. Kevin, Magic said in this press conference that one of the reasons that he is stepping down is because he misses being able to tweet. I find that absolutely preposterous and borderline insulting. But, you know, I can't speak in Magic's head. I mean, when he said that, what did you think?
I mean, I laughed like everyone else. I don't know that it's probably not literally being able to tweet, but I do think that, you know, this whole element of, look, I'm getting fined anytime I talk about a player on another team. I think Magic valued that role is an elder statesman for the league, is in, you know, a star emeritus who, you know, was looked to comment upon what was going on in the league. And I think that kind of broader thing,
you're
maybe not the tweet specifically.
No one's going to, I guess if you're worth tens of millions of dollars, or I don't know, maybe it's worth hundreds of millions, whatever he is, no one's going to trade a job so that you can tweet. I mean, it's a preposterous concern.
Well, he's saying it to make himself feel better. Well, what he's really saying is he felt like he couldn't be himself, and that is true. Right. Like, you couldn't ask him about any player, and then the Lakers would basically be under investigation for tampering because they've been fined $550,000 for Paul George and Giannis. The Giannis thing is pretty ridiculous. The Giannis thing, literally, he was just complimenting him.
But, okay, I mean, not that I think the league necessarily needs Magic Johnson as a basketball executive, but I do think this is a downside to the obsession with tampering, and also with more the appearance of tampering than things that are really tampering.
Well, that's a good point. But okay, so we have two things here. The emotions of tonight were downright bizarre. I'm feeling it coming from Ulm. You know, Ulm, I mean, let's just be honest. Everybody and their brother was prepared for Luke Walton to be fired tomorrow. I have a story sitting waiting for when Luke Walton's going to be fired. I think we have other stories. I don't think we're pulling the curtain too far back there. I'm sure you were planning your day tomorrow around a Luke Walton firing. So this is obviously a very unexpected emotional situation here. Andrew, should we talk more about the emotions? I just kind of want to focus on where the Lakers are now.
I'd be curious to see your take, because you're basically the furthest you can be from this epicenter. And Oma and I were just like chickens with our heads cut off, just running all over the place.
So, Andrew, you were there too.
I was there as well. Yes, while Ohm was buried like 15 people deep in this 45 minute Magic Johnson, however long it was, I made a comment that I was wondering if Magic was filibustering the pregame media availability, because no players spoke, the locker rooms were never open, and I saw in the back, Lakers PR were just like, they were just as shocked as everyone else. Like, no one knew what was happening here. And then so I...
Yeah, that's great, because I didn't get to see that.
Yeah, because I'm all the way in the back because I hate crowds. And then I walked over to the Blazers side, and I go into the Blazers locker room. It's completely empty, and people and, like, the training staff and the players there were just like, what is going on? And I come back out, and as I walk out, Evan Turner comes down the players' tunnel, and he's like, oh, I need to get Magic to autograph to sign a basketball before he dips. Did he leave yet? I need Magic to sign a basketball, and he goes into the players' locker room.
That's the worst Evan Turner impression I've ever heard.
that would be tampering, by the way.
Not anymore. He resigned.
The scene was just flat out bizarre, and I mean that will be told for a long time, and it will be sort of remembered. And we can debate whether Magic's at further later times. We can debate about Magic's tenure. I just want to say that I think the Lakers were just given a wonderful gift, because their situation was they were jammed. They had, you know, Genie wants to behave like a family. You can't run a team like a family, at least the basketball operations side. And that was a lesson that came blasting home over this last 6 or 7 months. And I didn't know how they were going to get out of it. And Magic has given her a get out of jail free card. She now has the ability to say, all right, we are now going to conduct a search for a new head of basketball operations. And she shouldn't look for somebody who played for the Lakers or somebody who her father admired or her father hired who worked for the Lakers previously. She has a chance now to redo this, and she has time. It's going to be somewhat rushed, but you know, there's time to figure out the draft pick. There is time to get ready for free agency. She's been given a gift. Now, whether she will take that gift and use it and learn from it, that's a completely different discussion altogether. But that was the first thing I thought about once I got over the shock, is that Magic has alleviated a problem, which was, frankly, he didn't really know what he was doing.
There's a window thing too, Wendy. Like she may have another problem on her hands, which is, and Magic was asked about this, is Rob Pelinka the right general manager for the job? And Magic cryptically started to say, and I got to find the quote here, but he started to say, do I think Rob is the right GM? That's a decision Genie has to make. I worked well with him. I had no problem. Then he said, now they said he has some bat, and he stops. I don't know if he was going to say baggage. I don't know if he was going to say bad blood. I don't know what he was going to say. He then said, I don't know about that. A lot of agent friends that called. Then he just goes, Genie has to make all the calls. That's not the calls for me to make. So he starts to allude of Rob's reputation around the league that some people did not want to deal with him because maybe of when he was his past as an agent. And so then, you know, you start asking Magic about his relationship with Rob Pelinka, and he was very lukewarm, just saying we worked well together, but we had to get to know each other. So now Genie has a decision to make.
What did he do with Rob? Luke, you're being kind saying he was lukewarm. He was, I would almost describe him as almost a little bit chilly, talking about Rob. But the fact is that somebody's going to have to come in and take Magic's job. Rob Pelinka cannot be permitted to be promoted into it. And it's, I would say at this point, unlikely, but certainly suspect at best that person would want to keep Rob in that role.
KP, does Genie hire Magic spot first and let that person decide Luke's fate? Because if everyone here is sitting and saying that Luke Walton's firing was imminent and it was going to happen, does he get a stay of execution until they resolve the front office?
Well, I mean, I think the interesting question here is, look, I think all of us believe that Jeannie's relationship with Luke was much stronger than Magic's. Does she kind of make that, you know, kind of one of her ground rules for this job that you have to retain?
My God,
there
can be no ground rules.
I mean, there shouldn't be, no, but there certainly can be, and there right. Definitely
you're
might be.
You're either going to fix this or you're not, okay? To me,
and that was the whole problem with that situation is that Magic didn't hire Luke Walton; he inherited him.
Look, I don't know if Genie is this person. If it were me, I would call and ask permission speak with Masai Ujiri, to speak with Tim Connolly, to speak with Bob Myers, I would set my sights on the highest available, not even available, the highest people who are experienced in this job. And I would tell them, how much money do you want? And you can have the power. And you have to, you can no longer run the basketball operations like a family if you're the Lakers. It does not work running it like that. If you need some example, just look at what has happened over the last year. They got LeBron James, but they got LeBron James because LeBron wanted to play in Los Angeles. They did not get him because of shrewd management. I guess, you know, you have to give Magic credit because he, wow. I don't know what happened there, Olm. Did somebody else just...
Sorry, I don't know. Something's going on outside.
I think Alex Caruso just hit a three.
You know what, Wendy, what you're saying is, like Bob Meyer, for example, if Jeannie's whole decision is to keep Luke, that's what she wants, Bob Meyer's perfect. Because Bob Meyer and Luke already have a working relationship. You know, they have back in Golden State.
I'm not saying that is going to happen. I'm just saying, like, if it were me, I would set my sights on the highest level people and get told no first from there.
Yeah.
Who am I going to hire that's going to keep Luke Walton? That can't be the way it works. It just can't.
Right. You know what this felt like, Wendy? And I'll take this back to the late 90s. But the last time I saw something that was similar to this, maybe, that reminds me of this, was the power struggle at Madison Square Garden between Dave Checketts, Ernie Grunfeld, and Jeff Van Gundy. And when basically Checketts had to decide who he was going to go with, he was going to go with Ernie Grunfeld or Jeff Van Gundy. And that was the big power struggle there. And they ultimately chose Jeff Van Gundy, who then resigned, you know, a few years later. But that was like a crazy time. And like, you almost wonder if this kind of the same dynamic is going on here with the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, I mean, I think Magic had the power to fire Luke. He probably had the power to fire Rob too, frankly. I just think that it was clear that, and by the way, when I say family, I'm talking about Rob Pelinka too, because Rob Pelinka is an extension of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
You know, he's Kobe's agent for almost all of his career. And so basically what you're saying is, you've got a surrogate of Kobe, not that Kobe's calling the shot, but you basically have an extended family member as the GM, a family member as the president. One of Jeannie's best friends is her co-business leader of the Lakers franchise, Linda Rambis.
But Brian, how is that any different than the previous regime? She had her literal brother as the president of basketball operations. And
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. The same result, the same thing over and over with expecting different results. You just can't. And, you know, you have to step up and start acting like a real organization. And if you don't, you're going to keep having this same problem. You can't have a half measure. And firing Magic Johnson would have been incredibly difficult. In some ways, more difficult than maybe firing her brother, because her brother doesn't, he was not regarded as one of the most famous and well-respected athletes in the history of Los Angeles. It was, I'm sure, very much more personally difficult to deal with the family situation with their brother, but, you know, firing Jim Buss was not, nobody was standing on his side saying he shouldn't. She probably needed to fire Magic Johnson after the way this season went, and he gave her a gift by not doing that. Off the top of my head, I would say that David Griffin could make a lot of sense for this job. Number one, it's a high profile job. He's handled LeBron James before. He's handled big demanding situations before. And he has a really good relationship with Luke Walton. Luke Walton played for the Cavs. I mean, people may not remember that unless you're a Cavs fan or a big Luke Walton fan, but Luke Walton played for the Cavs while David Griffin was there. And they have a good relationship. Doesn't mean that David Griffin would want him to be the head coach, but that is if you're looking to hire a free agent, that's the type of person that you would hire. But I can just tell you, knowing David Griffin very personally, he's not going to come in there unless he knows he's got full power. And
Wendy, someone told me tonight that they had heard that Griffin was possibly on his way to New Orleans.
But that's because someone had just and that's.
He interviewed there.
Someone mentioned to me tonight, unsolicited, like, what did the Lakers do next? This is somebody in the NBA and said, because Griff looks like he's on his way to New Orleans. And I was like, really?
I have not heard that. I mean, he interviewed.
But
there.
Maybe that means he was just interviewing with New Orleans.
Well, you'd also think that would potentially change, because this is clearly a way more attractive job than the Pelicans' job. It's probably a more attractive. It's clearly a more attractive job than the Wizards' job, even with the job security you'd enjoy there. I mean, that's part of the reason I think that, you know, as Wendy says, you can dream of going out and taking a GM away or a president of basketball operations away from another team.
Yeah, well, things are happening. I think might be some news out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yes. Woj just tweeted that.
Yeah, that Scott Layden is going to – just what a night. By the way, if you have any news dumps, if you have any bad things to do or whatever, do it now if you're in the NBA. but the Timberwolves are going to keep Scott Layden and Ryan Saunders. It's another preposterous decision. Just an absolutely preposterous decision. I'm going to tell you something. Good prudent management is not worth a star player, but my God, is a huge advantage. And like even today, now it makes a little bit more sense to me, and I don't want to belabor this point, but the Lakers botched basketball management today because Rodney Magruder was available on waivers, a guy who they had the mechanism to claim him. And a guy, this is the exact type of player that they need, a cheap guy who can shoot. And they let him pass on waivers, probably because they're in the midst of deciding where the franchise is going to go. But if you have a franchise that has its act together, you know, you probably make a roster claim for him. And guess who got him? Smart, well-run, deep infrastructure franchise. And again, I don't want to make this about Rodney Magruder. He's like a ninth man. But my point is, I was like, oh, the Lakers are going to get him because, you know, they need shooting and he's got a very low cap number. And it's a great opportunity to grab a free player. And the Clippers, who saw it coming 2 days ago and cut Luke Babar Amute. But whatever, I'm not going to get into that transaction. I'm just saying, like, when I saw that the Lakers didn't do that, I slapped my forehead going, I can't believe that they didn't take advantage of it. Little did I know that in the grand scheme of things, it would be, you know, it's just, if you don't have a good organization, it's very hard to do anything. You can have players, you don't have a good organization. This is Jeannie's opportunity to have a good organization. I don't know what she's going to do, Ohm. I do know this. One of the reasons why Magic may have wanted to get out of this job wasn't just because he didn't want to fire Luke Walton. It was going to be a really, really difficult next few months. The situation with Brandon Ingram is, to put it mildly, sensitive. I have no idea what he's going to be. And with all due respect to his agent, just because his agent says that his blood clot is fine and everything's going to be wonderful, I'm sorry, I don't take the agent's word on that. I hope that he's healthy, but his trade demand or his trade value has taken significant hit. If they don't get lucky in the lottery, I don't see how they're going to really be able to seriously get back into the Anthony Davis sweepstakes. So that would be a setback there. You know, if they don't move up in the lottery, they would not be able to draft a player there that's going to make a significant difference, most likely. I suppose there could be a diamond in the rough, a Donovan Mitchell, but most likely they're not going to be salvaged by that. And then they were facing a free agent market. In addition to making a coaching hire, which was not going to be easy, they were facing a free agent market where they were the second choice at best for basically all of the top six or seven free agents, putting them in a position possibly to not necessarily get a player that they wanted, but they had to take. And that's as challenging of a summer as you could have for any front office. And you add the pressure of being the Lakers front office and the general way that we talk and cover the Lakers. It was going to be a very difficult 2 months that was going to require finesse intelligence, luck, experience, and I just don't know if the Lakers were equipped for it. And if I was Magic, I wouldn't have wanted it either, Pelton. And I think pulling the ripcord checks a lot of boxes here, more than just avoiding this unpleasantness with Luke Walton.
I mean, I think it just all comes back to the same thing, which is this wasn't fun for Magic Johnson. I think when he took over, you know, he's thinking, okay, we're going to go out and sign LeBron. We'll sign Paul George. We'll put together a championship contender. And, you know, I'll be able to fix all the things I was unhappy about when I was on the sidelines and tweety about the mistakes that the Lakers were making. Well, it turns out it's a lot harder when you actually have to actually make those decisions and don't get to just second guess the people who are in charge and are making them right now. And, you know, I think that this dream job ended up not being the dream that he expected.
I don't disagree with you, Wendy, about like that this was a huge challenge. I don't think Magic Johnson shies away from challenges, but I will say this. I think Magic Johnson saw that he was not going to be able to do the job maybe the way he thought he could do it or the way he wants to do it. And I think that is because perhaps he was not given the okay to fire Luke Walton. And then on top of that, his relationship with Rob Pelinka, again, speculating, but I don't know what he meant by backstabbing and the whispering and all that, but judging by how lukewarm he was about Rob Pelinka, seemed like his relationship with Rob wasn't good, and that if he was not able to hire the coach he wanted to or wasn't given the leeway to go get a coach that he wanted to, I don't think he was going to stick around to do any of this stuff.
Well, based on the interview that Jeannie gave to the Sports Business Radio podcast last week, they expended some energy into basically trying to determine whether there was people lying to each other in the front office. And they determined that they weren't lying to each other and that it was the media that was lying, according to what Jeannie basically said. If you are spending resources and time and energy trying to determine whether you're telling the truth to each other within your own offices, you have got big, gigantic problems. Especially when you have a team that is, you know, from a basketball standpoint, was as dysfunctional as this team. And so he's a wonderful man. He's a wonderful, he was a wonderful basketball player. He is a business leader. He is a mentor to people. He is not the man to run a basketball front office. And even he realizes that. And it's not just because he didn't enjoy it. He was not very good at it. And so, but there are plenty of people who are not very good at it who stay in the job for years and do more damage. There will be no more damage, at least done by Magic, to the Lakers. And that's kind of, I think, where they are right now. I would not envy anybody. I am not sitting here, even though I'm critiquing, I am not saying that I could figure this out or that I could do a better job. But I would say this. Time to start acting like a business and not a family business. All right, we're going to wrap this up. Pelton, you have anything? I mean, you have a piece that's up. I don't know if there's anything else you want to say about it before we go, but you should go read Pelton's piece because, of course, before Magic's press conference was even over, Pelton had a piece analyzing the situation.
Well, it was a long press conference. Can I get a shout-out to Jamal Crawford? You mentioned the bad news dump, but he picked the worst time to score 51 points and become the oldest player ever to score 50 in a game.
Wow. Jamal Crawford had 51 points tonight?
Wow.
That's right.
You know, the fourth biggest story of the night.
Stuck in this Laker bubble, sure. I have had no idea what has been going on in the rest of the world. Like, so, you know,
well,
you mentioned Dirk and D-Wade.
Dirk had 30, become the oldest player in history to have 30.
Dirk had 30 tonight? Jordan.
Dirk had 30. Wade had 30. Yeah.
Wow.
A lot of stuff happened in the NBA tonight. You'll probably not be able to sleep for about 12 hours. Who knows what will happen in the next few days? Who knows who may resign tomorrow? we'll see. All right. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. That's Emergency Pod. Thank you to Andrew Hahn for putting it together. We'll be back on Thursday. Who knows what we'll be talking about then. Have a good night or morning or whatever.